Do you remember life before the internet? Do you remember when mail was sent on paper and shopping was done in stores? Do you remember when you could communicate across continents only via expensive phone calls? It almost makes you cringe, doesn't it? But think about it. The true impact of the internet has been felt for less than a generation. It's still really only in its infancy. That means the internet still offers us incredible possibilities and major challenges. So what does the future of the internet look like? That's the focus of a new special report from Gartner. And what did the report find? We put that question and more to the man in charge of the special report, Gartner Vice President and Research Fellow Stephen Prentice. I'm Scott Smith, host of Talking Technology, Gartner's monthly audio news magazine. And Stephen sat down with me for a look at the report and its findings, following our excerpts from our conversation, which began with me asking Stephen, what is the current situation with the internet, and is it sustainable? We are pleased to welcome Gartner analyst Steve Prentice back to Talking Technology. Steve, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
You are heading up a Gartner special report on the future of the internet. I guess the big question would then be, what is the current situation, and then is it sustainable going forward?
The current situation, quite clearly, over the last few years, the internet has become absolutely central to our private lives as individuals, but also as businesses. As we move forwards on things like e-commerce, as we see all the rise in things like cloud business, the rise of social networking, no one can be in any doubt about how important the internet actually is. But the problem is, in a sense, that with the growth of the internet, the situation is becoming very challenging. Everyone expects to have access 24/7. People expect to be able to gain access to their internet resources from any place, any time. And they've increasingly come to expect it to be high quality, high bandwidth, and low cost. And that leaves the communication service providers with a challenge. How do you actually meet the demand for bandwidth when people are not paying huge amounts of money for it? How do you actually provide the level of investment? How do you provide the last mile, if you like, to make sure everyone can gain access and increasingly build the mobile infrastructure? So as we use the internet more and more, and the volume of internet traffic, of IP traffic, is going up at staggering rates over the next few years, as we use it more and more, it becomes increasingly under strain just from the volume of traffic. And that's before we even start getting onto issues of control and regulation and privacy and security, all of which are starting to come into the frame.
Now, there's still a feeling at times that the internet can be like the wild, wild west, and you certainly outline a lot of the complications that arise in your research note. Can the internet be controlled or regulated effectively?
Well, there's two ways of looking at that. The argument on the one side is that the internet's always been free and self-regulating, which isn't strictly true. It's been regulated and grew up from an academic environment with a certain amount of committee-based self-regulation that has worked okay to a point. With increasing commercial use, it's definitely become more challenging. And with the sort of usage that we now find on there, with increasing use for cyber warfare, for criminal activities, for, should we just say, dubious content, there is definitely increasing pressure to regulate not only the content that is on the internet, but also access to it. And then you also have the various pressures between different providers who believe that their content should perhaps gain slightly higher priority. So there's certainly a battle going on. At the moment, control of the internet is largely done by a few statutory bodies, but there is certainly a level of oversight still from the US government, and that's something that doesn't sit too well with many other countries. And there are certainly challenges being pushed coming up over the next couple of years to actually change the way the internet is regulated and controlled. Although it has to be fair to say it's not necessarily clear whether that's because they're unhappy the way things are at the moment or just they're not actually controlling it themselves.
You know, in many ways, I think the internet has evolved a lot like technology. It started first linking educational and military networks together, and then we moved on, of course, with all of us with our home computers and all we're able to get on and so forth. And now the focus is obviously on mobile, tablets and phone, smartphones, etc. Does the mobile internet develop on a different trajectory?
Well, that's a very interesting point, because increasingly we're reaching a point, and it's one of the things we explore in the scenarios, whereby someone goes to their mobile device and they do a search on what they believe to be the net. The question is whether they go out to the internet or not becomes something that's not immediately transparent to them. You go to your local mobile service provider, you go to their switching hub, you've got a search inquiry. Maybe that gets routed across the internet to a remote information source, or maybe it actually gets handled on the mobile provider's own network and the information you want is shot back to you. You might have the belief that you've gone to the net, whereas in actual fact, you've never actually been out over the internet. And I think that's going to be an interesting sort of potential way of developing. As the mobile providers gain a greater and greater level of influence and control over who gets to actually see things and what we get to see. And I think the current move towards voice-activated assistants, things like Apple's Siri, for example, and the other products along those lines that we'll see over the coming months, make that lack of transparency even more problematic. And there's very, very significant implications here. I mean, in the early days of the internet, I mean, the typical user was an academic. They were looking at the sources of information, and they were making sort of valuable judgments about the provenance and the reliability of that information. Over time, the typical internet user doesn't really care about or understand, perhaps, the nuances of where that information has come from, and the idea that everything on Google is the truth. And therefore, they're just looking for what appears to be the fastest response possible. And if you go to a voice-activated assistant and ask it a question, what you get back is an answer. The question, where has that answer come from, is very, very significant, I think. If the question is it going to rain today? Do I need an umbrella? Maybe it doesn't matter too much. But if, for example, you've got a bad back and you ask your voice-activated assistant, where's the nearest pharmacist and what drug do I ask for? And the answer comes back with the name of some patented medicine. That's a very, very significant issue if you happen to be one of the global pharmaceutical companies, because if the system is recommending your medicine, great. If it's recommending someone else's, that's a multi-billion dollar investment that's potentially a threat. So the provenance of information and the transparency of sources and the objectivity is something that has huge business implications.
Could you tell us more about the special report that Gartner has on the future of the internet?
Sure. The special report is the result, really, of a long-term project that is ongoing. I mean, the first phase, which is due for publication in July, is really looking at sort of the technology background and answering those sort of questions of, can the internet be controlled and is the current situation sustainable and things like that. And we're looking there at what has actually happened, what the current situation is, what are the trends. And we've developed a set of scenarios which basically become a tool. They're not forecasts for what's going to happen in the future, because we're looking out over a long time period, at least 10 years, if not more. But allowing organizations to start to actually explore the various factors and to understand how they're going to impact their own particular organization, and to identify those sort of key mileposts that they might actually spot now and say, aha, that means we're perhaps going a little bit more down this direction, which means maybe we need to think about this change to our strategy. The next phase of the report, which is due to come out in the first quarter of 2013, is going to be looking at much more detail at the business implications. So we're no longer really focusing on the technology behind the internet, and we're looking at what are the implications for the pharmaceutical industry, for the retailing sector, for different industries, for different regions, for different job functions, perhaps. So looking at much more business implications, a much more business-oriented report, rather than one that is exploring the technology. We need to get the technology stuff dealt with and on the table so that we're all dealing from the same set of data. But what really matters in the internet is not what it is, but how it's being used. And as I said at the outset, I mean, there's no doubting now that in the 20 years or so since the World Wide Web became publicly available, it has actually linked now more than 2 billion people on the planet. It's become the largest global network. It's become central to the business activities of just about every organization. So understanding what the internet means to those organizations and understanding what the changes to the internet might actually bring and how it might change their strategy, their business model, their opportunities and so on becomes critical. And that's something that we're going to be exploring in the next release of the special report, as I said, in the first quarter of 2013.
Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you. I look forward to talking with you again and when we can go over some of the details on the next report.
Stephen Prentice is a vice president and research fellow at Gartner. He's also the lead author for the Gartner Special Report, The Future of the Internet, which can be found on Gartner.com. You can also hear my full interview with Stephen on the August edition of Talking Technology, Gartner's monthly audio news magazine. Thank you.